Welcome back to the TravCess Podcast. We are your hosts, Kim and Aaron. We are healthcare travelers and the creators of TravCess. And this week, we are going to be talking about not 75 hard, but 30 medium.
Ooh, 30 soft. That's kitty shit.
Yeah, we're not. No. So we'll get into our new health goal plans that we're going to take on and why these came about.
Perf. Before we get into the episode, if you are listening to this on Thursday, the day that our podcast comes out, I don't know what date that is.
That would be May 2nd.
I should have looked.
May 2nd.
May 2nd. Then tomorrow, May 3rd, our TravCess Oaxaca trip is officially launching. We are so excited because this is the, what is it called when you do the first one?
Inaugural.
Inaugural. This is the inaugural TravCess Oaxaca event.
Not only that, Oaxaca in general is so underrated and so...
No, I don't think it's underrated. I think people don't know about it.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Everybody's like, I want to go to Cozumel or all the Cancun or Oaxaca is where it's at, especially if you appreciate the heart of Mexican food and culture and music and color and beauty. Oaxaca is one of those, I guarantee you, whoever comes on or whoever has been on a TravCess trip, if you come on that trip, it's going to be mind-blowing.
It's going to
be a favorite that will be a yearly trip.
100%. It's unassuming. And even for Aaron and I, when we went to Oaxaca last year, because we did a research trip there, we had heard so many good things about it from other travelers and big foodies, right? And so we're like, ooh, this sounds perfect. And then we went, and it honestly exceeded my expectations. Yeah. It blew me away, where I was like, I knew it was going to be good, but it was way better than I could have imagined. And it's beautiful. You feel like you're in Colorado, in California, but it's, instead of vineyards, it's agave plants, and you're surrounded by mountains. And the weather, it was like dry, but it was sunny and warm, but it wasn't like overly hot, which is what I was thinking with Mexico. Like, oh, it's gonna be so, and we were there in August, and it was just absolutely beautiful. And I think this trip is such a good mix of food, because we're huge foodies, so this is a big foodie trip. Lots of mezcal, because that's the heart of mezcal, or the birthplace, I guess, where a lot of the production comes from. But also, it wouldn't be a TravCess trip without some sort of physical adventure. So we're going to be doing an overnight hike in the Sierra Norte Mountains, where there's seven different villages that are run by the indigenous people. So we're going to be going and learning about the culture there. And it's not crazy hiking. It's easy walking. But we'll be in the mountains and we'll be staying at a family's house. Then we'll be going to another family's house the next day for lunch. And so it's this beautiful immersion of all the things we love of physical activity, but also learning about the people and the culture and the way of living, and food and drink and fun. And I just feel like this trip has everything.
It really does.
Everything.
And we found the best local connection on the ground. He's actually famous. So if you watch any of the food shows, Somebody Feed Phil or Gordon Ramsay, Uncharted, I think
so, yeah.
He was their guide.
For the Oaxaca episode. Go watch those.
Yeah, go watch it. It's Omar, and he's the unofficial mayor. He's one of the most famous Oaxacan people. We met him and then met him at a bar randomly and ended up talking to him. We went out with him that night. And he was dude, don't plan a trip unless you come through me. His tours are absolutely phenomenal. And I will say, too, a lot of people, I can hear you scoffing at, I don't like mezcal. You'll be surprised, because the mezcal we get here in the United States is the cheap shit. And it should, if it tastes overly smoky, it's been infused, because that is a marketing strategy that they figured out, that Americans were try this mezcal. And it's there's a bunch of tequila, but try this smoky mezcal. And it's a marketing thing. And so we get to go to the local farms and try these mezcals that are created by these farmers. And what are the names of them?
Placarias
or something. Our guides are absolutely phenomenal. We have the same guides that we did for our research trip. I'm just really excited about it. And I'm really excited to show the TravCess community
the real Mexico.
The real Mexico.
And it's also a quick trip. So this is the quickest trip that we have. I think it's 7 days. Like, we leave on the 8th day. So it's short. It's a week. Mexico, it's not a long flight. You're not flying across the world. So I feel like it's a really great taste. And I just think that it is, Oaxaca will blow you away. And I think it will become a fan favorite because it's just an incredible, well-rounded trip. I will say definitely foodie and...
yeah,
mezcal focus, even though we will be doing the hiking and stuff. But like, if you're like super picky with food, granted I'm a vegetarian sometimes when I'm traveling. I was eating a lot of vegetarian food when I was in Mexico and I was fine. But if you're somebody who's super picky or has a lot of food restrictions or like doesn't like alcohol or doesn't drink, I would say this trip probably isn't for you because it is a lot of that and it would just kind of be a waste of money. I think.
We want the adventurous food people that are willing to try and get in depth with some of these flavor profiles that like adventurous stuff that, you know, maybe they don't like it, but they're willing to try.
Yeah.
We're doing food, cooking classes, food tours. And we also will have a lot of mezcal. And so it's like, you don't want to just be sitting there while we're all doing our mezcal tasting and having a lot of fun. It's just, it's kind of one of those trips where it's very food and drink focused.
Yes. And it's going to be a...
But it wouldn't be a Travis S. trip without a physical aspect. Right. So we have that and culture and
locals. And we're going to the waterfalls. I mean, it's such a great mix of all the things. So anyways, it will be launched. And how we are launching it is first it goes to our Travis S. alumni people. So that's all the people who have been on a trip with us get first dibs. They will get the first dib to sign up. And then we will send it out to everybody on our trip interest list. If you're not on our trip interest list, you can join that on our website at imtravsess.com. Super easy to do. And then it will go out if there's any spots left, which usually there's not that many by the time it goes out to like the main list, our email list, they get like the last spots. We're not doing like a big live launch. We already have the trip planned. So basically you will get a link that will go over the entire trip, the itinerary, what's included, the price. Yeah, everything. So that we'll send it all out. You can ask us any questions. And
the itinerary and everything is on our website at imtravsess.com.
Yeah, that's where we will send the link when the trip goes live next Friday. Totally. So it will be in August, by the way, this summer.
Of the trip, yeah.
So anyways, that's that. Let's get into the app.
Okay, so big intro, big excitement for Oaxaca, which kind of leads into this episode of, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of 75 Hard. It's a big craze. It's fucking hard.
Yeah.
And it's like you basically have to gallon of water, change a dietary thing.
Oh, well, let me explain it because I know.
Journaling. I know.
Well, if you're going to explain it, well, it's like... So there's certain criteria for 75 hard, for it to be like real 75 hard. And so that is you have to pick whatever diet you want to stick with and stick with that diet. Drink a gallon of water a day, exercise twice a day.
Two 45 minutes, one of them has to be outside.
Yeah, and then you have to read a nonfiction book, so something that's like, you know, inspiring or you know, whatever. And I don't know if you have to journal. I think it's just you have to read something that's nonfiction. Mm-hmm. And you do that for 75 days. And if you mess up one day, no alcohol, mm-hmm. obviously. If you like slip up one day, you have to start over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's the two workouts a day. Mm-hmm. Because anything I do, I want to be like realistic. And granted, you can set your mind to anything. You can do anything. Like our friend did this and she's a freaking beast, but like she was doing it. She was like the middle of winter in Michigan and she was like literally out there walking in the snow and shit. But like if you can put your mind to anything and you can do anything
if you wanted enough.
Okay. And I know that we could do that too. But for me, I'm just like, dude, I want to do something, but the two workouts a day, like right now, I just feel like I don't really want that.
No,
and I mean, feel like I need that.
We live a relatively healthy lifestyle anyway. Working out is very important to us. I understand 75 hard is a way to change habits, right? That's the whole point. Do something very hard for 75 straight days to change your habits. We are looking to modify habits.
And create discipline and consistency.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then we also are working a contract and running this business with just the two of us.
Yeah.
So we have a lot on our plates right now. So how can we add in that extra time instead of sitting on the couch and just watching endless amounts of TV on our time off? We can utilize some of that time to getting healthier.
Well, yeah.
And we're going to explain what that actually means, quote unquote, healthier.
Yeah. Because, so, when we got back from Patagonia, so, we went on that trip, we were gone for a month, and it's so funny, because you're like, dude, we just hiked, like, 50 miles.
More than that.
I know, but
it's 40. 70-something.
Oh, right, because we continued on. Okay, right, so we hiked a shit ton of miles. And it's funny, because you would think you would come back from a hiking trip and be like, dude, I feel great. I lost all these LBs. Like, I'm feeling, like, so good, so healthy, so strong. This was, like, the complete opposite. And I came back feeling just, like, I've been eating such crap, drinking more than I ever have, and eating in such a way of so out of my normal. Gluttonous. Yeah, like it felt very gluttonous. It didn't help that we came home and our ritual is we always order a pizza and watch Netflix. Like at the end of a trip, that's like our post-trip celebration. Like that, we put everything away. We shower, jammies, Netflix, pizza, Caesar salad, Diet Pepsi. That is our treat. Mm-hmm. And so like we did that. It was amazing. Then the next day we got another pizza from another place that we love. That's like the Neapolitan mm-hmm. style. The first night was New York style, so, you know, we had to switch it up a little bit. And then we got gelato that night, and then we were eating Chick-fil-A on our road trip, fried. Usually we get the grilled. We were ordering number ones left and right, upgrade
large
that fries. Shit to large. Yeah. Like, so I think it wasn't just a trip. Like, we came home and kind of were on a bender. Oh, I ate an entire family-sized bag of Reese's Pieces.
Yeah, you did.
Over 3 days, to be fair. But
that's
I
true.
Tore
I did
that
devour
bag
my
up.
Bag of Starburst gummies in like one sitting.
Yeah, which is usual.
Yeah, typical.
But we kind of were on a bender, slinging pops, you know, yeah. All day or a day. Like we just kind of was like, I don't care. I'm going to eat what I want. I'm going to do what I want. There was no rules. So that was kind of coming off. Oh, and then we were in Florida. So we're like out of our normal there. And we were like, we had pizza at your mom's.
Drinks.
Pizza Hut, we had Papa John's at my sister's, we had Domino's, Papa John's at your mom's, mm-hmm. Publix, you're seeing a theme, we've just been bonkaroos, mm-hmm. And then on our actual trip, the food in Patagonia, again, it's very meat and carb loaded because they don't have access, they can't grow vegetables and fruits and things like that, so you're eating a lot of carbs,
a lot of mashed taters.
A lot of taters and a lot of mate. Mm-hmm. And
their portions are not like, you know, like you can go to Italy and get a bowl of pasta and it's definitely not the size pasta that we're used to and as Americans. But like theirs was the entire plate was meat and then they bring out a little bowl of mashed potatoes. Like,
yeah,
it's insane.
Yeah.
And they don't stop serving. Like even in Patagonia, like, when we go to La Peninsula, it's like you're about to vomit, and they're just like, more wine. Like the Argentina experience. Just like so much food that you're like, you got to be kidding me.
Just more, mm-hmm. more. And so it was a lot of meat. It was a lot of carbs. It was very little vegetables, very little fruit, which, you know, at home, that's primarily what I eat is vegetables and fruits and like, I eat lean meat, like lots of chicken and stuff. And we, red meat.
Fish.
Yeah, we eat red meat maybe once every other week.
In our butcher box, we get a filet mignon, two filet mignons. Mm-hmm. And that's a treat, like a Sunday night treat with a yep. baked potato.
Yeah, and a salad. Yeah. And it's like, we look forward to that. We were having that every single day, yeah. minus the salad.
Correct.
Just the potato and just the meat.
Correct.
And the drinking, because that's a big thing. And it was wine, right? Which wine has a lot of sugar and a lot of calories. And in our normal life, we'll drink like once a week. Like once a week, we throw back, we go out to dinner, we have martinis or tequila yeah. or whatever. And I will say that's our normal, is once a week. Maybe if we're being spicy, we might have like a dribble or something yeah. on a Tuesday.
But also, but like that's a glass rare. Of wine or two max at dinner is like great. But we were one or two bottles.
But for me, what I'm saying though is that I don't, even if I drink two glasses of wine, like I'm saying, like I don't normally, I'm not somebody who comes home from work and has a glass of wine.
No.
There are people who do that. They come home every night from work, they have a glass or two of wine, and like, or, you know, we say dribbles because it's like a joke, because my grandparents were people that every single night they would watch Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy and they would have dribbles, and that was their cocktail, okay? And that was their routine. And a lot of people do that. That's just never been our style, because I'm definitely of the thought of like, if I'm gonna have some drinks, I wanna throw them back. I wanna get tipsy. I wanna, like, we're like all in kind of people.
Totally, that's just our style.
Also, I'm someone that if I drink a glass or two of wine, I could also be hungover. I never know. And so for me, I always want to feel my absolute best, especially during the week when I'm working and have shit to do. I'm not risking being hungover. So it's always a gamble for me. And so even though we were drinking wine every single night, almost every single night on this trip, we drank wine. Even if like I was waking up and I wasn't hungover, regardless, you sleep differently when you drink. It's all like it still affects you, right? You mm-hmm. feel that wore down kind of feeling.
Yeah.
So I think after a whole month of that and the eating, we came home, then we had our bender here.
Well, I would even just pause for a sec.
Yeah.
Like back this up. So like I was already feeling personally crappy, right? Just in general, in my
what
own
do you
body.
Mean? Here?
Or? Yeah. Yeah. Before Patagonia.
Before, okay.
And it was when we came back from Bali, and there was like those two, like September, October, and then January, February, Bali. I just started to feel crappy and lethargic. And like, again, Kim and I are not surface people. We never have been surface people. We are deep thinkers and evaluate, and we will talk until like our faces are blue of like, it's not just about the weight. It's not just about the numbers. It's about how we feel. How is our energy levels? Are we waking up and outputting at the level that we want to put up? Are we happy? Are we joyful? Are we our best self? And a lot of that is rooted in the food that you eat and being active, because I feel my best when I'm in that, right? And the sugars, the wines, the drinks, like here in West Virginia, I was coming home from work. I mean, Kim and I were drinking two times a week, almost every week, if you look at that.
Were we? I don't
roughly.
Feel like I we was. Would,
there
I, you,
was.
You went through a phase where you were having a dribble once a week. Like you would pour yourself a whiskey. I usually didn't
during the week.
Yeah.
Which was like, it kind of broke up my Wednesday. Like,
yeah.
You know, Thursday was my last day. I'll have a dribble on Wednesday night. I also was not working out at all.
Yeah.
Because
you weren't.
Then it was like, I'll have a dribble tonight because I'm not waking up earlier. I'm not working out tomorrow. So I don't mm-hmm. need all my energy to go do that. Which again goes back to just how we consider drinking too. It's like, if I drink one dribble or two or three, I ain't doing shit the next day. It takes enough for me to go to work, right? I'm not 21 again, like where I can just bounce up and be fine. I'm just going to come home, and it was almost my excuse. I'll have a dribble. I don't have to worry about going to the gym because I made it through work. And so it's kind of that excuse. And I just remember feeling like, yes, I'm carrying a lot more weight than I normally like to carry, but I also am like, I'm tired and exhausted at the end of the day. And that's not something that I like to feel. I like to have energy throughout the day to take me into time to go to bed. Because again, Kim and I have a different life. I work in the hospital, and then we come home and we have things to do, like for the business. Like, Kim's holding it down, working harder than me, honestly, in the business. But then, like, there's things we have to do together. Mm-hmm. And I need the energy, and I want to be able to, like, have conversations with you about your day and things like that. And I've just been zonked, and I don't like that feeling.
Yeah.
So I was using Patagonia as a way to go hike 75 miles. I knew I could physically do it perfectly fine, but use it as an accelerator. And I think that's where, like, hiking that, I was mentally exhausted. I wasn't physically, like, my body was able to do it, but I was so mentally tired that I know that that comes from not training well enough and, like, the food I'm eating.
I think, too, like, leading up to Patagonia, like you said, like, because, again, I work from home, right? I'm working full-time in Travis Est at this moment, and I am not taking a contract right now. So I have a very strict schedule for myself, because for me, working from home, you have to have more discipline. And, you know, I want to feel like I'm going to work and I'm being productive, because it's very easy. If you're home, you could roll out of bed when you wanted. I'm alone. I could do whatever I wanted. And so
you could watch hours of TV in your panties and I would never know.
Right. And so it working for yourself is amazing, but it also requires more discipline because no one's holding you accountable. Like, you have to clock into work at 7. Regardless, you have to. Nobody, like, you can't be like, oh, I'll just sleep in today. I'll show up at 10. Like, no, they're waiting for you. They're counting on you. And so for me, like, I'm a pretty disciplined person. Yeah. It's just my nature.
Way more than me.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the truth. Like, I think I'm just innately built that way. I'm very productive. I'm very goal oriented. And I feel good when I'm being productive. And when I'm not, I don't feel my best. That could be good or bad, I don't know, but that's just how I'm wired. So I have very strict schedule during the week. When Aaron's working, I have a schedule, and then on Friday when he's off, I can be a little bit more flexible. And so I was sticking to my schedule. So I was working out consistently. And I'm also somebody that when I'm not working out or moving, I do not feel great. I get a lot of good energy from moving my body and working out. So I was very strict with my workouts because I also work from the cafe next to where my Pilates is. So, like, that's my schedule. I go to my Pilates, then I go to the cafe.
Can't call it Pilates.
Oh, sorry, Legree. It's not Pilates, it's Legree. And then I would go work, and, like, that's my day, and I feel really good. I feel like I finally found my workflow. So for me, I've kind of stayed in this consistency with working out. For you, leading up to Patagonia, like, you're working 10 hours a day, and I know how hard that is. Like, when you're, like, 10 hours a day, it's exhausting, it's grueling work, it's mental work, and now you're, like, trying, when can I go work out, and when can I... Then I'm coming home and I'm taking care of the stuff that needs to be taken care of in the business. And I'm trying to be a good husband to my wife and have time with her. And it's like so much you're giving of yourself that I feel like you kind of let go of that. Mm-hmm. You let go of taking care of yourself and mm-hmm. you put your health on the back burner where you weren't working out at all, maybe once every couple of weeks. And like, you ate pretty good because I cook pretty clean at home, and there's nowhere to eat in West Virginia. So, like, it's not like we go out to eat very often. So I feel like leading up, you were kind of in this, like, funky place mentally, emotionally, and you really hadn't been taking the best care of yourself just because of kind of the place that you were in, you know?
It was one of the most stressful 5 months I've ever
had
as well.
Right, you were in a weird place, yeah. And so I think leading up to that trip, like, I felt okay physically because I was, like, in my normal routine. And I think, but mentally, I was on the struggle bus with that hike. And I think it was just because, anyway, I don't know. I kind of just lost my train of thought where I was going with all of that. But I guess my point was that you were kind of on the struggle bus leading into that trip. I went into the struggle bus on the trip because of just the eating and the indulgences with everything. That by the time, now that we're back home in West Virginia 30 days later, we're both so ready for, like, a reset.
Well, totally, and I think too.
Like, I don't know. Did I totally go off?
No, I got there? You. No, I got you. Okay. I was just thinking like maybe this will bring it back too. Like, but Kim and I also know what we have coming up starting in August, right? And it's a beautiful and exciting gauntlet, right? Like a gauntlet that most people want to run through, but we also know the amount of energy and physicality and exhaustion that comes with that gauntlet, right? This is, Kim and I are living our dream, right?
Yeah.
We get to go and lead trips, not be in the hospital, lead trips around the world and show people amazing places that they never thought they would ever go, right? That's our life. And I love every single second. That doesn't mean that it's not exhausting, right?
Yeah.
And you're out of your norm and you're holding the energy for the group and you're bouncing around and you're out of your routine. And we just realized for the amount of time being in Oaxaca, then going straight from Oaxaca to Greece to hiking Everest base camp. That was the thing.
That's
and the conditions that we had in on the W trek and feeling like it was rainy and cold and I didn't have the mental energy to push through it and enjoy it, which is usually how I like to think. Like I'm the type that's like, the crazier the weather, let's go. Like this is an added challenge and I'm up for it. And I want to like, I didn't have the chutzpah to do it. Right. And so I said, Everest is going to be unpredictable and it is 11 days on a trail.
Yeah.
This was 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so ready for the trip to be over.
Mm-hmm.
That's barely even halfway through the trip that we would have another 4 days and then another 3 days.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I've got to step this up. I've got to step up this game. I need to be in the best shape. I'm also 41 years old. My cholesterol numbers and blood pressure has not been the greatest. I need to make some real changes because, you know, Kim and I are talking about family too and like what that looks like maybe in the next year or two. Like, and I'm going to be an older dad if we go down that route. There's so much more to this, right? Like so much more in the backing, and I already am a good baseline of health, but I need to be better.
Yeah, I think longevity, which put a pin in this for just a second, because I just wanted to say, like, I don't know if it came across this way because I feel like I lost my train of thought, so maybe didn't finish what I wanted to say, but I didn't want it to come across as like I've been so consistent and disciplined and you haven't.
It didn't.
My point was that because I work from home, I have to be more disciplined, but also I have time. I even though I am, you know, working very hard behind the scenes, like, or not, well, I guess behind, I don't know, behind the scenes, I'm working very hard every day, right? Like, and it's a lot because I'm still taking care of all the household stuff plus running our business.
And taking care of me.
Yeah. So, but I still have my own time. I'm on my own time. It's easy for me to go down and do my Legree class and then go to the cafe and work. Like, it's way easier than you being at work for 10 hours, being in a grind, then coming home, then doing all the other things. And it's a lot for you. It's a lot for you to carry on your shoulders.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I was trying to say is that, not that like I'm just better or more disciplined than you. It was that I'm home. I have more space in my day.
Well, right. And it's also why even this trend, it's just easier for me to get a contract and you stay in the business because you are more disciplined. You do stay on a strict schedule. I can't tell you, I'd probably wake up and just not feel it and then just be like...
No, you wouldn't. You'd find a schedule because you'd have to or nothing would get done. There's too many things that have to get done.
Well, right, but you're so good at that. And that's why this has worked. So
yeah.
If it comes down to a contract, I'm the one taking it.
Like, right.
That's just how it is because of the flow and the personality type. So I didn't take that you were saying that you were more disciplined.
I didn't mean it like that. I'm like, well, I was working out every day.
But you are, though.
I didn't mean it like that.
But you are, though. But I can tell you, you were more on the struggle bus on the trail than I was.
Mentally, yeah. Okay, so I just wanted to clear that up. So that's cleared up, right? Okay, you don't feel like I was saying...
No.
Okay, back to the longevity, like piggybacking off what you were just saying about, you know, again, wanting... I think, A, we just came back after a month of being indulgent, feeling like shit, right? You want to reset. I want to lose some weight. Aaron wants to lose some weight. We just want to feel better. But then also gearing up towards Everest, that really put things in perspective of like, holy shit, like, I want to feel my best, the best that you can, right? Like, it's still going to be hard. It's still going to be challenging. Like, you can only train so much. You don't even know what you're getting yourself into in some degrees. But I want to try to feel my best and prepare to go to Everest, because I don't want to feel like how I did on the W trek. And the W trek is literally a walk in the park compared to Everest.
Oh, yeah.
So that was one. But the longevity of, yes, we're getting older. And yes, we do want to have a family, potentially, in the next couple years.
God willing,
right? If that's part of our path, then that will be something that we will experience being older parents. Mm-hmm. And I want to feel my absolute best. You're 41, right? I'm 38. Like, I want to feel so good in my body. And I want to be able to have energy. And you to be like, dude, I'm 45 years old and I'm in the best shape I've ever been in. And like, you know, so I think that's something that's very important to us, is like, as we're getting older, especially gearing up if we do want to have a family, that we have to take really good care of our bodies and our health, and it has to be important, or we're going to be on the struggle bus.
No, totally. And it's funny because I'll never forget this. In my anatomy and physiology 1 and 2, I have no idea what we were even talking about, but I remember it was not even on subject, but we had a professor who was very well known at our college, and he was very blunt, very just kind of direct and, I don't know, brash, I guess you would say. And I'll never forget, he just like, he was talking and somebody said something. And he goes, listen to me. If you're not running circles at 60, you ain't going to be walking at 80.
Dang.
And like, I don't know why. I mean, that's his opinion / I've seen it too in the hospital well enough. And I've seen it in my own life with my own grandparents, right?
Yeah.
90 years old, hauling ass around the house, like circling my mom, who was 20, 30 years younger, right? Mm-hmm. And so like, it's always something that's stuck in my head. Like, I need to be in the best shape of my life at 40, 50, 60, getting better if I want to live longer, because potentially my kid could be 30 when I'm 70, right? That's, and like, scary. I would like to
no,
see...
No, you're 41. You don't even have a kid yet.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, like, I'd be in my 70s when
they're
30.
Right.
And so, like, hopefully, I don't know. I never want to push. If my kids have kids young, fine. But, like, hopefully they live their life. I don't know. I love what we've done.
Yeah.
I mean.
I
would encourage to, like, live
wait.
Your life. Go right. Wait. Whatever. That's just my
another
opinion.
Another conversation.
Another
yeah.
conversation another time. But, like, I would want to see my grandkids. I don't know. So I need to be in damn good shape,
yeah.
right? I don't need to like see them for that many years. Just like enough, right?
God.
Like, I'd like to see them till their adolescence.
I mean, that would be great. I mean, so
it's a choice I made. So it's like,
yeah, something we have to think about. And then also, you know, something that like really was on my heart too. And even when I was like on the struggle bus in Patagonia, my cousin, who's my sister's age, she's 1 year older, 2 years older than my sister, so I guess she's 43. She was just diagnosed with lymphoma and like really, really,
stage 4.
Really bad. Yeah, like they don't know if she's gonna make it, right? And it's really sad. And she was like a healthy, vibrant girl, right? And her whole life was just completely changed. The life of her husband, of her parents, like her whole life was just changed. And we never know what life is going to throw at us, right? And so it's like, I am so grateful for my body and for my health and that I'm well and that I'm able to hike this W trek. And I would like talk to myself about that in my head. Like, your body is carrying you through. You are like walking right now. Like, your body's allowing you to hike 70 something miles or to go to hike Everest. Like, we are healthy and we are well. And I'm just so grateful for that. And I want to take the best care of my body, because it puts it in perspective that if you don't have your health, nothing else matters, right? Like, we were just talking about this the other day, like my cousin right now, diet, her whole life now is about chemo and if she's going to survive this or not. She's not now like, hey, where do you want to go out for dinner, or like worried about something going on in her business, or like nothing matters when your health is on the line. And so I just want to enjoy the most that I can out of my well-abled body and appreciate it and take care of it and be freaking grateful for it, because there's people who would love to be able to like go hike Everest or go for a walk and they can't. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I never want to take that for granted. And I think it's so easy to say until something happens in your life.
I mean, I'll word it like this too. Like, we want to be able to, because a lot of that is on, only so much control, right? Life is, and again, we have a religious, spiritual kind of thought process that your plan is your plan and like, whatever, but I want to capitalize on every single day with the ability that I currently have. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to do something to piss that away, right? And so that's kind of the big change. And I realized, I told Kim this morning, I started back with Orange Theory, which I'll talk about in a little bit, but I came back and I was just, I mean, you would have thought that I won the World Series, like just the feeling that I had. And it was like, okay, I'm back. Like, I get it, right? I want more of this. And so I realized I'm a very controlling person in my life, like in just general. I like things done a certain way. I'm not overly controlling to where you would feel it a lot. I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong. But like certain things, right?
I have my things. You have
that,
OCD tendencies.
Correct. I just feel like it's more efficient if I do it, because whatever.
Anyway. Micromanaging tendencies.
Yeah,
for certain things,
but not in general. Like, I'm not an overarching micromanager. It's just there's certain things. Like, if it comes down to like, you know, screwing a door on, like,
yeah,
instead of letting you figure it out, I'll just do it. Like, it's faster, easier, done. Right. Anywho. But the one thing that I'm not controlling it is my own body. And I think that's something that I'm ready to clean up. And I also am about to go to Oaxaca and Greece. And we're going to go island hopping and beach jumping. And then hopefully in the year in Bali. And like, I want to feel good. I just want to feel good. I want to take my shirt off and feel good.
I know. And it's this weird thing, right? Because, and we'll get into like kind of what we're doing for our 30-day challenge that we created. But it's like, I think we can both agree, right? Like, we're never going to be the people that have like six packs, because I'm not interested at all at living the life that requires that, right? Totally. Because it's so much discipline. It's so much like with your food and I want to go to Oaxaca and drink mezcal and eat tacos and
margaritas.
Yeah, like life is so important, and we're foodies, and like I love food and I love the experience. I'm never going to be somebody who's like says no because like I want to look a certain way. So it's like also like trying to figure out what that balance is for us of like not coming off of a month where you feel like you've overindulged so much you just feel sick. But it's like that balance between I'm enjoying my life. I'm eating things. I'm having cool experiences, but I don't feel like I'm so
restricted.
Yeah, you don't want to be so restricted, especially with our life because we travel so much. But also, you're not so on the teeter totter of you're so far gone, you know. Yeah. And like, I honestly, I don't have an answer for that.
I mean, when you're watching,
I think it's good. I think it's really easy to stay super disciplined with your food and your exercise and all of the things when you're home. But the reality is the life that we've created, we are traveling a lot. And so I think that's where I'm trying to figure out what that could look like, traveling and also still not feeling like total shit while I'm traveling.
I agree. And I mean, this was like a tipping point when I was literally every food commercial that came on, I was uncontrollably dry heaving. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, you've reached a level, right?
Yeah, when, like, you're done.
Nothing sounds good, but then when you make choices to eat, it's like Chick-fil-A fried sandwich, right? Like, I don't know, it's just a different level, right? And we have to start managing that, because the way our year looks from August into late December, we are going to be out of the country.
Well, right. And I was just saying this to you earlier when we were like doing laundry, because I think this is, and I don't have the answer, right? Like, we're figuring this out as we go. Like, of how we can manage this while being gone for long stretches of time. But I feel like we're in this beautiful routine at home, living our life with our work and our bodies, right? We're in good flow for the most part. And then we go travel and it feels like everything turns to chaos. Like our food, our exercise, our spending,
our business,
everything is so chaotic, and it becomes this whirlwind of like just kind of chaos, right? And not really having a beat on anything. And then we come home and it's almost like, oh my God, like what just happened? And now it's like, you know, we have to like, where are we at with our finances? We got to reboot with our workout and our, like everything just feels so out of control. Mm-hmm. And that's the feeling, like, how can we figure out how to travel and not let our whole life become out of control?
Totally. It literally feels that's like a natural disaster has come through when we get home and we are just sorting out, like, where do you even begin?
Yeah.
And then it takes us out, because then it takes a while to get started. And you almost, because you're just like, where do we even start?
And it feels like so overwhelming that sometimes when you feel overwhelmed, you don't want to do anything, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing, and that we're trying to figure out, because we know we have this stretch of time that we're going to be gone, and it will probably be the last big stretch of time that we're going to be gone.
Maybe, yeah.
Who knows? But, yeah, trying to manage that a little bit better. So, anyways, that, who knows what will happen. We'll talk more about that when we're in it. But for the 30-day challenge, as like a reset of wanting to feel better and of just kind of wanting to like pump the brakes and give ourselves a reboot.
Yeah. And that's why I said the 30 medium, because it's not 75 hard, because we've manipulated it in a way that we feel is still enough to kick us in the ass and be something that we have to stick to with discipline, but also not 75 hard where you're just like so pot committed and gritty.
Yeah. Where it's a whole life, your whole life revolves around mm-hmm. that. And like our life already is very full with everything. We just, and again, it's called an excuse, but for us, it's just, I don't want to make the time for that. The two workouts a day. It's not that important. Right. So what we came up with for our 30 medium is we have, okay, so we're working out 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm. With non-negotiable
nightly walks. Drinking a gallon of water a day.
Already did.
Yeah, I drink a lot of water, but not that much. No alcohol. Mm. I think that might be the biggest thing.
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm.
No. Okay. No alcohol. No pop.
Mm-hmm.
That's your biggest thing?
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm.
No sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say no sugar, obviously we're eating fruits and stuff.
Things that break down. I mean, yeah.
But not, I mean, like, no chocolate, no gummy bears, no gelato, no ice cream, no cookies, no extra, like, treats, sugary treats. And you think that's going to be the hardest?
I can eat the most satiating dinner that's like rewarding. And again, Kim and I are foodies, as we said. Food is an experience for me. I don't care if it's cooked at home or not. There is an experience, and if I don't put an experience into it, it falls short. And like, I get excited over Sunday dinners. Like,
yeah, you know.
Like, what can we make that's like jazzy?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just something that I have related to food. It's my food story. And for some reason, I've continued that story to where it ends with something special.
It always is something sweet, yeah.
And
Sundays?
No, it's become every meal now.
Yeah.
Even after lunch at work, I'm like looking for something that's like different and sugary and like bad. Just because it makes me feel excited. You know, it's like that dopamine hit that like I'm craving it. And I think there's a lot of, everything is mentally connected always. And I think coming off of the most stressful 5 months that I think I've ever had, I was looking for any dopamine hit mm-hmm. to bring myself back. And so now that I feel like I'm on the other side of that, I don't need that anymore. I will say I already know that there's 3 bags of frozen grapes in there and I'm already getting excited.
Yeah, it's a Yeah.
So I'm going to need a lot more grapes.
Yeah. No, I got frozen cherries, which I'm excited about. I've never tried those, but my sister was saying how, because I would do frozen blueberries, but she said the frozen cherries are really great because I got into a habit before Patagonia where I was eating chocolate every single, and I never eat chocolate like that, but every single night after dinner, I looked forward to it. Oh, I'm going to have my couple pieces of chocolate. And then it becomes a habit, right? Mm-hmm.
And a story you tell yourself that your meal is not complete
until you have your treat. Yeah. So I think that will be like a big thing to kick that and like to have our bag of cherries, our bag of grapes. And I think also we're also not going to eat simple carbs, like
processed food.
Staying away from as much processed food as we can. Like, obviously we're not going to be like fucking crazy about it, but like the goal is to eat as clean as possible and to keep up with our workouts every single week for 30 days. I think for me the hardest thing, well, and not drinking soda, which I never used to be a soda drinker. I would drink soda once in a while. Like, we were at Olive Garden and I would get a fountain diet Pepsi, and I'm like, this is life, right? This is giving me life. Or if I was hungover, I would have a diet Pepsi. But now I got into the habit of having one a day.
Every night.
I would drink half for lunch, half for dinner. And you drink multiple sodas a day. So like, I think breaking that
diet sodas,
but it's all
not
the same.
It's all the same, but it is not an influx of 200 plus calories.
Right. But instead, we're going to be drinking agua con gas, which is what they call sparkling water. And actually, that's very satisfying because mm-hmm. it feels different. Like, I'm like sitting here, like my legs are twitching because I have to pee so bad because I've just finished my gallon of water. But now my water is gone and I'm actually excited for my agua con gas with my lime because it feels like something different.
Why are you saying cone?
Isn't that what it is?
Con.
Oh, agua con gas.
Agua con gas.
Con gas.
Okay.
You have to have an accent.
Okay.
But I think too, the alcohol is...
That's going to be hard.
For 30 days. Now, we've gone 30 days before.
Yeah.
But there is something about just like you come home or on a Thursday night and we sit and we have a drink and we talk or we go to a dinner, even though there's like nowhere to eat around here. But like the act of just like talking about our week.
Going out to dinner is not an issue because, again, it's about an experience. If we were in Florida, I would have a tough time because there are so many restaurants that I just want to sit outside, have a cocktail, have an espresso martini.
Oysters,
whatever. Like a cold IPA, and a warm sun on the beach, right? Yeah. Like, it's such an experience. Like, here,
it's a vibe.
I don't have anything. I'm sitting in a dark room, inside, bar-ish, like, just having wine because I feel like I should. Or, like, a whiskey because I feel like I should. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not going to be the issue. It's going to be the celebratory... Because we like to also like celebrate small moments because we feel like as humans, we can breeze through looking at what's next. So as a couple, we are very strong with writing stuff on the board, reaching that goal and celebrating it. Taking a moment to sit down, have a cocktail, hug it out, be excited, talk about it. How did we get here? What did we learn? And like take in that moment. And I think I've related that to cocktails.
Yeah, definitely. Me too.
And so that's going to be an interesting
mindset. It's a shift. But I think it's for 30 days. And the goal is we want to stick with it because at the end of the 30 days, I want to evaluate, right? How do we feel? How much? Because I want to lose 8 pounds. Like, there's 8 pounds that I want to lose, like for myself to feel better. And that's a lot for me because I'm already kind of a smaller frame.
Yeah.
So, but that's my goal, my personal goal. And I want to see at the end of the 30 days, if I'm really disciplined with all the things, do I shift? Do I lose that weight? Or is that just something that maybe that's my more normal weight moving forward, right? But I want to see. You want to lose 20 pounds, which is a lot, but you're also, I feel like you lose weight very quickly.
I lose weight very quickly. And anytime I have been on a quote unquote weight loss tighten up kind of journey and I crack down like this, I lose weight pretty quick because I am carrying a lot more weight than my body frame should be. Mm-hmm. Now I am more muscle than I am lard. And so
lard,
I do like stature wise, but I'm when I'm looking at what our diet is now, this is the tightest we've ever been. And it's actually something I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I would crush a pound and a half of processed ham a week, go through a pound of cheese, deli cut cheese a week. I would eat two bags of pretzels, go through like sugary, like worms. Yogurts and worms and you know, ice cream,
sodas.
Yeah. So you cut all that out and alcohol.
Yeah.
I'm already going to drop weight, but you know, I'm at 220 and that's kind of my weight. And I would love, I've always wanted to be in the 195 to 200 range in my life. So it's like.
When you get to 200 all the time, like I feel like that's your normal healthy
weight. I haven't been coming down to that. I've always been at 210.
No, you were not. You were like two.
When was the last time I was in the two zeros?
You were like 205 or something.
When?
I don't remember. But I remember, long time ago. That is such a good weight on you, where like, cause you're a big guy, right? And so it's like, but you, like you're healthy at that weight. Like I think for you to get under 200 pounds, you would have to drastically change your diet.
We'll see.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. I feel like, is that really worth it? Like, because again, at the end of the 30 days, you and I already know how to eat clean and we know how to exercise and all of that. So it's not like we're like, oh, and then when we're done with the 30 days, we're just going to go back to eating shit. Like, that's not the point. The point is to kind of use this 30 days to detox. And then after the 30 days, how are we feeling? And then, cool, let's go out and have a drink and like get back to like, you know, but also not, I guess not normal life, but also like being mindful still of how much sugar we're eating and all the things.
But I'm into it to like, I feel like this lifestyle, and I think that's the biggest kicker for people that want to make a change. It's like, this does not feel overly daunting, knowing that for 30 days I can cut alcohol, but like getting back after the 30 days to see how I feel. But a lot of times when you cut alcohol for 30 days, you've slept so well.
Oh, you feel so good.
You're so refreshed. You have so much more energy. And so just still having cocktails, number one, our Travis's trips are fun, celebratory. We always have like cocktails with dinner and like things like that. Like, it's about the experience of being in another country, but so that will never stop. But I think like coming home and almost going 30 days off again and then slowly itching that back in to where it's like maybe once every other week.
Yeah, I think we'll like find our flow. I think this is just a good reboot. In no way is it like, oh, this is how we're gonna be forever, but I think it's just because in our normal life, like, yeah, like we'll go out to dinner and have drinks. Am I going to have a dessert? Yes. So it's not like, oh, I'm never eating sugar again. But I think it's just coming back to that. I'm not eating chocolate every night. I'm not going, you know what I mean? So it's just coming back to like not being overindulgent as I think like we were kind of being.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and also because I also am a firm believer on the, you don't want to restrict yourself because then I think you just always overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
We've only done this one other time for 30 days, but we were very, very, very strict. We were doing a photo shoot for when we were personal trainers.
Mm-hmm. For our fitness website.
Yep. And this is when we were living in San Francisco and we were, you know, in sports bras and no shirts and we wanted to like look really good. So we were so, so strict. And we did our photo shoot and we looked freaking amazing. But then that night we literally,
we went out for tacos. I'll never forget this. We went out for tacos at our favorite place, got spicy margaritas. Then we went out to a country bar and then we drank there. I had some beers there. And then late at night, we got back to the hotel like 1 in the morning, ordered a pizza with breadsticks.
Just completely overdid it.
And then the next day, did the hangover thing where we order whatever the fuck we want to, and then we got ice cream and it was
all went to shit. Dude,
just all, and then it was like,
and you feel so sick because you haven't ate like that. So that's, I don't want to do that where we're like 30 days is up, like this is we, you know, like
no, because I mean we have till August before we like take off and go, and so I would like to stay. We're going to see how 30 days feels to like crack down, but know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And we can adjust after the 30. We might go another, might be 60 medium you know, might be 90 medium. Who knows? Yeah. Like, but I think too, like, you know, today I thought Orange Theory was out of the question for me just because of like the location, my work schedule, trying to make time to go there because you got to book your times and it fills up and all that kind of stuff. But it looks like this studio itself doesn't fill up as quickly, which is nice. I went in and like it was the coolest studio I've ever been to with regards to the people, the trainers. I actually made a friend and got a number, and like it's like a first time I've ever done that, to where it was just he's graduating from anesthesia, being an anesthesiologist, so his boards are in May, and he's like, man, we get out on the boat, you should come with us. Like, just a really cool guy. So it was like awesome. I recruited him to come on our trips because he's a doc now, and he said I'll be making more money, and he's very spontaneous. So I thought it was really cool. But I think, like, in general, it's been since October since I've been in OTF. And, like, number one, I've always been an OTF person. Number two, I actually realized coming off of this W trek, the things that were struggling with me was everything that we worked out in OTF. And I was driving home and I was thinking to myself, for people that come on our trips, if you can handle an OTF workout and do it to somewhat of a max, meaning you're running or walking at a very fast pace and keeping up with the rower and actually doing the weights, it is the best training for Travcess trips. Mm-hmm. It hits all the muscle groups, and their philosophy is functional movement that allows an 80 plus year old to get off the floor, right? So like, it's just a really great workout for our trips because you're hitting endurance, you're hitting strength training, and you're also like building up muscles that like lateral movements and things like that that end up hurting on hikes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, 100%.
And we're not sponsored by OTF unless you want to sponsor this podcast.
Right. I'm actually going to start doing one OTF. So we used to do OTF together. When we were in Connecticut, a couple different places we did it. But I hate running. I just freaking hate it. It's not my thing. Those days are over for me. I just don't enjoy it. And I love my Legree. And so my Legree is really great for strength training. And it also is good for cardiovascular health because your heart rate's up the whole time. It's heavy weights. And I noticed a huge difference on this hike physically. Yep. My legs were never sore. My glutes weren't sore.
You had a knee issue and it's gone.
My knee, yeah. I had a left knee issue and we worked on strengthening my glutes so I didn't have any knee issues. So like I really felt a huge difference physically from doing my Legree. But I also want to add in one kind of more like really intense cardiovascular, which is like OTF, right? With the running and the rowing and the lifting. And so I'm going to do one day a week with Aaron. So Friday is going to be like our day that we go to OTF together. And I'm terrified because OTF is a hard, it's hard,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's a different kind of hard than like Legree.
Yeah. Today I literally hit 34 minutes halfway through and I literally started like my brain started getting foggy. Like I realized I couldn't bring my heart rate down. It had just reached that point. And I usually was just working out in the gym for 30 minutes. So I could tell that max point. And I was like, oh, shit. I got a whole nother half of this class to do all of this again. And like, oh, dude.
I don't like hour workouts. Like, my Legrees are 45 minutes. 50. And it's like per... Oh, okay.
It's 50 and they do a 10-minute stretch block.
So it is an hour.
Yeah, but you're done with, like, workout.
Okay. Ugh. I mean, I know it's going to feel amazing. I need that extra kick and that difference too. Cause I do, when you do the same thing over and over again too, like it's good to like switch things up. So I think it will be a good addition. I think this is the year and you know, this is the year we're going to prioritize our health for so many different reasons. And I think again, you can make excuses for anything. Like we're like, oh, we don't have time to do the 75 hard. Well, that's an excuse. We could if we wanted to, but we don't want to, right? It's just something that doesn't have...
It's not something that we're like, oh my God, I have to do
right.
this.
Right. It doesn't like, feel like something, yeah, I need to do
It's not
do
monumental to me.
Right. But with anything, we can say Aaron works 10 hours a day. Oh, I don't have time to work out. Or, you know,
having a freaking... huge business with just the two of us on top of working in the hospital.
We all have so many excuses and a lot of like they're valid excuses. They all are. But I think again, whatever we prioritize, we will make happen. So, but you have to choose and be intentional with what you're prioritizing in your life, and you will find the time for it, right? You will wake up early and work out if you want to. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do, but you can do it if you want to. And so, and all of us are capable of whatever it is we choose to prioritize. And I do believe too that sometimes to live in perfect harmony and balance is not it's a fairy tale, in my opinion, because I think there are times you're going to thrive in one area and times you're going to thrive in other areas, and sometimes other things might fall off a little bit, like, and other things you might be kicking ass at. It's just kind of like where you're putting your priorities and intentions at that particular moment. And totally. It's all okay. Like, you're not going to be like thriving at every single thing in your life all the time, and you have to like make things important. And I think this is the year that we want to put more importance on our health and making that a priority, right? And other things might have to take a little bit of a backseat to that in some way, but that doesn't fall off, right?
No, and I think what you said was well said. The only thing that I would add to it, especially if it comes from somebody who's not as disciplined as you are, you're very good at finding something, sticking to it, and game on. Like, this is what we do. For me, I have to talk through it and find importance that means something to me. Mm-hmm. It might not mean something to you, and it might be crazy, rah-rah, whatever it is, right? But, like, I finally connected the dots to the importance of me doing this and why I want to do it. And if you just have empty things of, like, I want to get healthy because I want to lose weight. Well, I'm sorry, that's going to fall off. Like, there's got to be deeper importance, and I've finally found the language to connect it. And I'm also jarring and bottling the feelings I get post-workout so that I know when I am exhausted, I know the first 10 minutes will be tough, but at the end of the 50, I'm going to feel amazing. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to wonder why I don't keep doing this. Mm-hmm. And so, like, remembering those moments, because it helps you stay consistent, and consistency is my issue. Yeah. And so that's the focus. Right? The losing of the weight, the alcohol, whatever, that's all a byproduct.
Yeah.
It's the consistency. Can I do something for 30 days consistently? Because that is where I have an issue. So know your issues, know your weaknesses, focus on those, and find the importance and the meaning behind why you are doing it. And it only has to mean something to you.
Yeah. And being realistic about what you're setting for yourself. And I think you do want to have... You do want to have like that push, right? It's got to be a push, but it also needs to be realistic, which is why we're saying 3 days a week, right? Like, that mm-hmm. is the goal, not six.
Right.
Because I feel that, yes, if we really wanted to do 6 days a week, could we? 100% if we put our mind to it and made that our number one priority. But for me, I feel like I don't need that. Like, saying I'm going to do 3 days a week every single week, I'm going to feel like I'm going to win, because I think that's doable. I think that can be a push in some ways for you because of your work schedule. But I still think it's something that you can do. And totally. So it's like setting realistic expectations. If you were like, so only twice out of your 4 10-hour days do you have to go work out afterwards or go work out in the morning. That seems way more doable, and that you're going to set yourself up for success than like, I'm going to work out 6 days a week every, like,
totally.
No, you're probably not.
Totally.
So knowing yourself enough to know to push yourself, but also be realistic about what you're doing.
Well, what's your Ed Mylett quote that I love so much?
Confidence is keeping the promises that you make to yourself. So it's like you build more and more confidence when you set a goal for you and you complete that goal. You show up for yourself. You follow through with what you say you're gonna do. And that fuels you. That keeps you going. That builds momentum, and that makes you feel confident and proud of yourself.
Totally.
So even if like you were like, hey, my goal is I only want to work out 1 day a week, and that's still a stretch for me. But you did that 1 day a week, you would feel so proud and confident,
and it would probably lead to 2 days a week.
Exactly.
And 3 days, and that's what I was saying. We said 3 days a week, non-negotiable, that's the push. But I can guarantee you, if I'm doing three, I can probably fit in one more. And if I don't, and I'm not feeling it, that's okay too. It's a victory.
Yeah.
But I've stayed consistent for 14 weeks with 3 days a week.
Well, right. And I mean, even like, Because you can be so extreme sometimes.
I'm like 5 days a week, I'm working out.
Yeah, you're like, I'm working out. I'm doing 2-a-days.
Yeah.
7 days a week, no break, yeah. Balls to the wall. Like, I'm running a
hardest
half marathon.
Ever.
Yeah. And then you're like, okay, I'm not going to put, like, Stevie in my coffee in the morning. And it's like, okay. So you have to also think about it from that perspective, too. It's like, or I'm not going to put any spices on my chicken. It's like.
Not spices. I was thinking, like, teriyaki.
Okay. But I'm like, bro. Bro, I don't know if that was a mix of bro and something else. The stevia in your coffee and the spices or the teriyaki seasoning on your grilled piece of chicken aren't the problem. Be real, because if you can't enjoy your coffee in the morning with your stevia, you're gonna feel like you're lacking something, right? Like if you're eating pieces of disgusting boiled chicken with nothing, like you're not gonna wanna eat that. Like that's not the problem. You don't have to be so freaking extreme because then you're not gonna stick with it. The problem is the gummy bears, the pizza twice a week, the alcohol,
the ice cream,
the chocolate bars, the bags of chips. The loaves of bread. That probably is something to
think pounds of meat
more about.
Processed
yeah.
meat.
Than your stevia. So no, I think
totally.
It's just
well, what was that? What was I wish I could remember the exact quote or who it was. The comedian that was like he was so pissed at people being like, stay off of the fruit. The fruit has sugar. And he's like, show me the actual amount of overweight people that are fighting for fruit.
Yeah,
versus the ones that are fighting down the candy
it's
aisle.
So true.
Like, let's be honest at what we're arguing about. If you're craving fruit, eat your damn fruit.
It's so funny because like people can be so extreme, right?
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
not gonna eat any
Even
fruit.
The four
I'm not
hour...
gonna eat any fruit. And it's like, yes, fruit has sugar in it, 100%. But fruit also has fiber, so that sugar breaks down in your body slower, and you die, and it doesn't release insulin as quick, right? And like you eating a bag of cherries because that's satisfying a craving you're having and it feels good and it feels like an indulgent versus you sitting and eating a bag of Reese Pieces. Those are two completely different scenarios, right? Like who's overweight because they're eating too many strawberries?
Well, right.
It's not happening.
No, no.
It's not the problem.
No, it's funny.
It's because you're eating those strawberries on freaking ice cream with whipped cream and like one of those delicious strawberry shortcake little cakes.
Oh, God.
Those are amazing.
That's a Sunday night treat.
Oh, that is a Sunday night treat.
Mm.
Oh,
maybe we'll get into that. Sunday night, we get to have a treat.
Not for the 30 days.
No, after the 30
oh,
days.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. For sure. Like we always do.
One little treat.
One little
like
strawberry shortcake.
I'm not eating a gallon of my mint chocolate chip ice cream by myself.
Ugh.
Like, you know. So
good.
Anyway. All right.
Anyways, I think that's it. I'm talked out.
I actually realized my voice, like.
My voice hurts.
I know.
We recorded three podcasts today, but two traveler quick
going
tips.
Going over
we've
Greece and Oaxaca. And
we've been talking all day.
But
we'll keep you posted with the journey because we're also going to do the very best that we can. And we're going to try to be super consistent and not have any slip-ups. But if we do, we'll also share and talk about that too because we're not perfect. But I'm going to try to stick to it.
Yeah, here we go. On May, what's the date? April 28th?
Yeah, so I think it was May 27th would be our 30-day.
So April 28th, I am 220 pounds. We'll see where I am. On May 27th.
Okay. Hell to the motherfucker. Yeah.
Even though weight is not the goal, but it's a way to just describe
it. It's a way to gauge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
we're out.
Wish us luck, you little mother humper.
Fuck.